Binge the full week of The Ray Taylor Show ad-free over at patreon.com/inspireddisorder.
What you manifest in your mind, you can bring to reality.
Ted Lasso, Season 2, Episode 10, No Weddings and a Funeral. My predictions of this episode were pretty far off. There were no engagements. There was a death, obviously. The show of Ted Lasso just killing people off, killing dogs and characters. This is a character, I don't know if we ever actually met this character, but they were tangentially involved in an episode. The character that dies, which we find out just after Rebecca gets out of bed with Sam, they're out in the kitchen, and surprise, surprise, guess who decides to drop in? Once again, Rebecca's mom, and she drops in not to say that she ran away from her father again, but to say that her father ran away from life. Rebecca's dad died. So this is an episode that really revolves around the funeral of Rebecca's dad. And because it's Rebecca's dad, apparently the whole team is also involved. You know, any other show or even in real life, I can't really see employees going to a funeral of their boss's dad. But in Ted Lasso world, it makes sense because they are so much like family. They're really good at supporting each other, especially now. But yeah, so you're seeing that Sam and Rebecca still are you know, having fun together. There's a little discussion in bed before the news is dropped about her dad, where Sam wants to tell people, and Rebecca really loves the secret aspect of it. She loves sneaking around and that whole thing. So there's a little conflict there. But yeah, most of this episode is about the funeral. There cuts to the pretty much everybody inside Ted Lasso's office, like Roy, Akili, Nate, Higgins, Beard. I believe all of them are there. A lot of people are there. And they're all discussing afterlife, what happens after you die. And Nate, I believe, was, you know, kind of talking about how he wants to be a lion, you know, get reincarnated to come back as a lion so he could just kill anybody that looks at him sideways, which is a very fitting answer for Nate. You know, somebody that's so timid, but just really a lot of bottled up regression in that guy. Roy, just kind of over death, atheist, when you're dead kind of response, which is Roy throughout this episode has a very flippant attitude towards funerals and death, which I kind of relate to. I'm not a big, I don't know, like, I don't think I've been to one funeral, and very tragic, very, like, the person that died is a very weird situation, and it was a very traumatic event in my life, let's say. But there's other people that have died, like, I've never been to a family member's funeral. Or, you know, I guess I've been to some weddings, but yeah, no funerals, not a lot of, only one funeral that I can think of. Maybe I block some out, but I kind of have a similar thing. It's not like Keeley said it best, it's a party for sad people. I mean, I'm not big into parties, especially if they're for sad people. You know, if I'm going to go to a party, it's going to be, you know, for happy people. Like a wedding. A wedding is a lot. Just both weddings and funerals, what turns me off the most, aside from just being around a lot of people, is having to dress up. I'm not one to like putting on a lot of fancy clothes. Not that you have to be super fancy at any of those, but to me, for somebody who exists in this world wearing basketball shorts with like elastic waistbands and just t-shirts with graphics on them from podcasts I like, or comedians I like, or whatever my t-shirt happens to have on it, that's kind of my day-to-day uniform. Whereas, I don't even own, I don't own fancy shoes, which Danny Rojas in this episode is suffering with having to wear fancy shoes, at least for part of it, until he got some nice slippers. But yeah, I don't think I have a button-up shirt anymore. Like, I've used to have things like that, but I've kind of tapped out of most things in our society. So anyway, so they have the afterlife talk, which is fun. The team is kind of getting ready for the funeral, trying to figure out what they need to do, how they need to dress. It's kind of their team captains trying to put them in place, which is funny because he's trying to make sure everybody's dressed appropriately. And then he shows up to the funeral with this suit that's got like this smoke kind of effect printed on it. Weird. It's weird, but also funny. A funny contradiction for that character. You get to see Rebecca. Rebecca goes home. She's staying in her old bedroom. She gets woken up by her mom playing Rick Isley's Never Gonna Give You Up on all the speakers throughout the house. A lot of this, the music in this is kind of 80s, 90s pop kind of music. But the Rick Isley song is a big aspect of this episode. Very funny. So she wakes up to being Rickrolled every morning. Her mom, anyway. Rebecca's mom loves to play that song every morning when she wakes up, which is funny. I mean, I guess it's true. You know, I mean, not that song, clearly, but just to wake up and listen to the same song every day. I guess if it gets you motivated, you know, it puts you in the right mood. I guess that's a smart little life hack, I guess you could call it. But yeah, you see, so while Rebecca's home in her bed, you see her best friend, Sassy Smurf, climbing through the window, followed by or attempted to be followed by her daughter, Laura. So it's fun seeing them again, sneaking into the bedroom. You get to see Roy and Keeley discuss what's going on, and Roy's kind of just very negative attitude. Not, I don't know about negative, but he's like, he's not, I wouldn't know. I don't really know exactly how to describe his dismissive attitude about the funeral, I guess, which is is putting off Keeley on some level. She's, you know, it's the first time we've seen them not on the same page, I guess. I guess there's been other times, but this is one where it goes through, like there's a subtle rift between the two of them. Ted, as he's listening to his 80s music, trying to get ready for this funeral, gets hit with a panic attack. So a lot of this episode is not only Ted dealing with his panic attack. He calls Sharon. She goes to his house or to his apartment or whatever, wherever he's living. So she goes there to help him. The first thing he does is call her as she's getting ready for the funeral as well. It's like everybody's going to this funeral. It's an event. But yeah, so panic attack. Rupert shows up, just crashes the funeral with his new wife. I don't know if they got married yet. They have a kid, though. Their kid came out. But yeah, I don't know if they got married or not. They didn't really mention that. I would imagine so. I would imagine they got married already. They were engaged, and they have a kid. Just seems like that would be part of that whole equation, especially since, you know, he's using her as loopholes to still be attached to AFC Richmond. But Rupert, of course, shows up, which is an added stress for Rebecca. He wasn't invited. But yeah, so you got that going on. Sharon goes to help Ted. You see Danny struggling with the whole shoe situation. Keeley sees there's like one of my favorites. I absolutely love Keeley. I think she is she's like one of the best characters, I think, in this show. Like, I like Roy too. Their whole relationship is great. Roy's voice is a little bit too Christian Bale Batman-y. I enjoy it though. I love him as a character, but Keeley, I think Keeley is like the pinnacle. My favorite character. And at the funeral, she's, you know, giving condolences to Rebecca, and she sees Sassy in the distance and does the high-pitched girl squeal to run, and she's like, just after saying to Rebecca, I'm not going to lose your side. I'm here for you, until she sees Sassy, which is great because as a trifecta of friends, Rebecca, Sassy, and Keeley make a great trio of people. And it's just fun to see her excitement. She's just great. She's so great. A little over 4 years ago, I started The Many Faces. It's an ongoing series of abstract ink portraits. Each piece is improvised. Each piece is released daily. Start collecting now. Head on over to inspireddisorder.com/TMF. That stands for The Many Faces. And save yourself 25% when you use coupon code RTS. That stands for The Ray Taylor Show, because that's what you're listening to, and I love you. So I want you to save 25% when you use that coupon code. Head on over to inspireddisorder.com/TMF and use coupon code RTS to save 25% when you start collecting one of over 1,600 original ink paintings. By myself, I made them. Support me. I love you. Back to the show. But Keeley suspects that Rebecca has been hooking up with somebody, and she doesn't know. She talks to Sassy Smurf about it, and they're they want to confront Rebecca and see who it is. They don't know who it is, but they want to know who it is. They have Bomb. It's amazing how just a subtle line can have so much weight. Because back at Ted's apartment, when Sharon shows up, he offers her or asks her if she wants to have a drink, and she says no, and she drops the line that she hates tea, that it tastes like a wet paper bag, which, if you know Ted, is exactly his cup of tea. Pardon the pun. But instantly unlocks Ted, and he's like, I'll tell you whatever you want, which I had a feeling it felt like he was going to be completely open regardless. But her dropping that line that Sharon hates tea herself is a great aspect. And then there's this great scene before the wedding, Rebecca's in this like back room of the church, talking to Keeley, kind of having a fun time because she doesn't care. She hates her dad. She's just there because she has to be there. She's the daughter. She's like, you know, it's kind of like the folk. Most of the people there know Rebecca. But she's in the back room having fun with Keeley. Then Sassy shows up with a bottle of wine. And then you have the scene where Rebecca doesn't want to say. They confront her. They know that she's sleeping with somebody, and Rebecca's like, I can't say. But, you know, they're like, well, we're going to guess. And Keeley's first guess right out of her mouth is Sam, and explosions. And they're already in trouble for making so much fun noise. You know, a lot of laughter and screaming and having of good times in this back room of a church, where everybody in the church who's seated and ready for the whole show to get started can hear them having fun. It's almost worse than being in the audience of the funeral and laughing, which is something that can happen. Is it's almost a natural response in some ways for people who can't cope. But it's a hilarious scene that they just explode in laughter and just scream in joy when they find out that Rebecca has been hooking up with Sam, because Sam is amazing. He's amazing. He's a great dude, you know? Great dude. He's cute, you know? He's young, you know? It's almost like too good. too good. But of course, they the pastor, the minister, the religious guy comes in again, telling them to be quiet. Of course, Laura was right behind Sassy, who has the big crush on Sam, which we saw in the episode where she goes to stay the week with her godmother, Rebecca. She has this huge crush on Sam, and she got to see how Sam stood up against Dubai Air. And she just, you know, she's got this giant crush. But knowing that her godmother got to tap that ass, she had nothing but respect, calling her a boss-ass bitch as she left because they were being kicked out for having too much fun. No fun in churches. No. Churches are where they do a lot of illegal things to underage people. No laughing. It's only serious business. Oh, I guess they do other things in churches too, but that's the big shining one that I can think of offhand. But anyway, so they get kicked out. So it's just, at this moment, it's just Rebecca and her mom in this room. And Rebecca is coming clean about why she hates her dad, just as Ted is coming clean about what happened to his dad. You know, in a previous episode, Ted called after their big loss. Ted called Sharon to tell her that his dad had committed suicide when he was a kid. So Ted's telling that story, and it's a scene where it cuts back and forth between Ted telling his story to Sharon about his dad, you know, having this great story. I mean, I guess there's two stories that he tells. But it's the story about how he came home and he heard the gunshot and then found his dad. And then it's also Rebecca telling her story about how she found her dad cheating on her mom with somebody. I forget who, the name of the person. And you find out that the mom knew the whole time, which Rebecca says that is almost refreshing because now she can hate her as well for sticking around. But her mom, you know, says that she's a different person, that they're different people, and that it takes a lot of strength to leave somebody, and she has a lot of respect for what Rebecca did, leaving Rupert. But her mom is self-described as being somebody who, once they love somebody, they love them forever, regardless of what they do, which I guess is more of a stance that somebody who's codependent would have. But definitely two different types of people. Rebecca has far more strength than her mom does. I guess in some ways it takes a lot of strength to end a relationship. I guess it also takes a lot of strength to stay in a bad relationship. But that's more self-torture. It's more of like, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot that you can dig in, but it's a great scene where you're seeing, Rebecca come clean with her story, Ted coming clean with his story, which is brutal. You know, he's 16. He hears the gunshot. And then I think handled it in a very precise and clean way. He went and grabbed a beer, chugged the beer, and then called his mom at work and told her that she needs to come home, and then just kind of let that, you know, let them. I guess he called the police too. Forgot. Yeah. Anyway, it's a great scene. Let's see here. Yeah, you get to see that Ted. So that you have that scene. Ted also shares this story, this great story. Sharon asks him, it's like, okay, well, do you have a good story? Do you have a story about your dad that gives you good feelings? And Ted tells this other story about this time where Ted had an assignment to read a book, and he didn't read the book, and he was really stressed out, and he wasn't able to sleep, and his dad was frustrated that he's not going to sleep. Finds out that, you know, Ted tells his dad that It's because he didn't do his homework, didn't read this book. And his dad's like, listen, just go to sleep. Nothing matters. It's okay. Just get yourself some sleep and, you know, and whatever. The next morning, the dad is like, listen, you're not taking the bus. I'm driving you to school. And Ted's like, all right. And on the ride there, Ted's dad, who had stayed up the entire night reading the book that Ted was supposed to read, just gave Ted the synopsis of the book beat by beat as they drove to school, and he got an A on his test. It's just a really great, heartwarming story told great by Ted. I mean, Sudeikis is... Everybody in the show is just top-notch. I really do enjoy. And congratulations, by the way, to Ted Lasso on all of their Emmy awards. I don't watch award shows, especially Emmy award shows, but it was cool to see a bunch of the people from that show. It seemed like there were like only three or four shows to actually win any awards, but Ted Lasso won a bunch of them, and that was pretty awesome. But yeah, so because of Ted's panic attack, Sharon was able to help him, but he shows up late. Like, he shows up just as Rebecca's called up front to the church to give her eulogy, which she didn't know she was going to be giving. And she doesn't really know what to say when she's up there. Ted shows up completely late out of nowhere. And sits down in the back, and there's this great moment where Rebecca is standing at the front of the church, and she just starts singing the Rick Isley song, Never Gonna Give You Up. And of course, like, she's doing it, she's got a great singing voice, but she's, you know, she's sad, nervous, probably scared that she's doesn't know what to say, but like, there's this song that's stuck in her head. I don't know if it's stuck in her head, but it made the perfect amount of sense. You know, she's singing this song. Ted jumps in. Everybody eventually jumps in to sing this song. And it's a moment that at the same time is making me cry out of sadness, but also laugh. Because, I mean, it's sad because it's a funeral. And it's this heartfelt moment, but, and like, it's a moment where Rebecca realizes that everybody in that church supports her. They're never going to give her up. But also the meaning of that song, she just Rickrolled her dad's funeral, which is like the most, like, if you hate somebody, how is Rickrolling the funeral not the best thing that you could do? But somehow, the writers of this show and the performers, the actors of this show can create a scene where they Rickroll a funeral that makes me cry out of sadness while simultaneously laughing at the reality of a funeral being Rickrolled. Amazing. Amazing. That's a magic trick. To be able to do that, like, you to like, just the idea on paper, she's gonna sing Rick Isley's Rickroll song at a church, but it's not gonna be as wacky as you would think it would be. It's not like if this were the Office, it would have been wacky. It would have been way more on the nose. And it's the lyrics she started off singing. Are like from the not the chorus part, right? So it even takes a moment, like when she starts singing, it's like, wait, are those the lyrics too? Oh no, she's not. Is she singing Rick Isley's song at the funeral? And it's amazing. And then Ted, obviously, because even the layer, the other layer of meaning for that song in general, the lyrics of the song, Never Gonna Give You Up, is also like a metaphor for the family bond that all these people have working at this soccer club. You know, it's amazing. That was like, blew my mind with tears coming down my face as I'm laughing. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous to have those emotions at the same time. Like, it was so ridiculous that I stepped outside of my body to see how ridiculous I was acting, spewing these two very contrasting emotions. But just so great. So great. After the funeral, everybody's leaving as Rupert is leaving. You know, Rebecca's mom had given her some advice about, not necessarily advice, but words of wisdom or just how she deals with the fact that she had stayed with, you know, her husband that was cheating on her for so long. About not letting people feel like they're getting to you. Kind of a, that's not exactly what she said, but that kind of idea of putting on a facade to not let your enemies see your weaknesses in some ways. And at the end of the funeral, everybody's leaving, and Rebecca and her mom are standing, you know, I think Sassy. Oh, there's a scene, jump back real quick before this. There's a scene where everybody's at the funeral before the whole show gets started, where you see Sassy and Rupert interact, which is the first time you've seen both of them interact, and you see how like amazing Sassy is talking shit to Rupert, because she knows she's Rebecca's best friend. She knows how horrible Rupert was, and she doesn't give a fuck about talking shit to his face. And I love that scene. All right, now jump back to the end of the funeral. Rupert is about to leave with his daughter and his new wife, also named Rebecca. And Rebecca gives him, you know, kind of taking her mom's advice, a very stoic, polite farewell, as it were. And Rupert comes back to let her know that he's gonna give back these shares of AFC Richmond to Rebecca, because it's just too much for him with the new wife and the new kid. He doesn't want to have anything to do with that. It's just too much. So it's kind of like, I think Rebecca said it's like a funeral gift or whatever. A great, like, something that if Rebecca had handled that goodbye in a slightly different way, you could see Rupert bringing that up, that he was going to give her back the shares, but now he's going to do something else, right? Like, you could see him, like, even going further, like they're still in this battle. But she's shut off from it, and it works, and she gets those shares back, which I thought was a good gesture from Rupert, a good direction for the show. It's like, we're not going to have to worry about that drama. It's great. But then you see, as he's walking away, whisper into Nate's ear. So what I think is really going to happen is that he has plans to buy another team, and he's going to poach Nate from this team to be the lead coach. That's my guess. I have a feeling season 3 of this show, which I believe they mentioned that the show was planned to have a 3-season arc for the show to exist for 3 seasons. So I have a feeling that the 3rd season is going to be this battle between whatever Rupert's team is, led by Nate, and AFC Richmond, as they finally got their shit together and are actually doing good and actually have a potential to win something. That's what I think season 3. I don't think there's enough time, although I could be wrong. The show jumps forward in time. I mean, by the next episode, Rupert could have that team and Nate could be, it could all be about Nate being the new coach. I don't know if that's what it is, But he whispers in Nate's ear. That's the only reason I could think of Rupert talking to Nate. I can't imagine he knew who Nate was when he was the equipment manager back when Rupert owned the team. So he must have seen Nate blow up on social media. There's a scene where Jamie confesses his love to Keeley one more time. And it's a great scene, right? Because it's Jamie, who has clearly grown as a man and changed as a person, which most people don't do. Like, the kind of changes that Jamie has made in himself are something you don't see the type of people Jamie was doing. But he has, and he's shown himself. It's not just him saying that he's changed. He's shown that he's changed. And he tells Keeley that being part of the team isn't the only reason he came back. He came back because he still loves her. Super heartfelt. The whole time, I'm thinking, oh no, because through this episode, there's been this mild rift between Keeley and Roy in regards to the funeral and how Roy is dealing with the funeral, or just kind of his attitude towards the funeral in general. But directly after Jamie says that he loves Keeley, she literally turns around and Roy is right there. And Roy apologizes for how his attitude has been. He tells her that, I forget who it was that died, maybe it was his dad, but there was a funeral that really messed him up, and that's why he's had this attitude about this funeral or funerals in general, and just really heartfelt. It is like, however much Jamie approached that situation as a mature adult, like Roy, like tenfold. And then Keeley gives him a big hug. It's like this moment where it's like this split second moment where it's like, oh no, is Keeley going to leave Roy for Jamie? And then Roy comes and apologizes and, in my opinion, solidifies their connection with each other. Because it was great. And he wasn't being that much of a jerk, but he was on some level. And for him to apologize, being so aware of what's going on, apologize and giving backstory to describe why he was acting the way he was, not making excuses, but just giving backstory for context, a great moment, a scary moment. But then there's another scary, not really scary moment, but Sam finally pulls Rebecca into a broom closet just to give her a hug, because they have to pretend they're not together, whatever, whatever. He wants to just give her a hug, which is like made me emotional. Like, I love Sam. He's like the greatest dude. And I really do enjoy Sam and Rebecca. I think that's great. I really do. And everybody in the show, like all the characters, when they find out, they're like, you know, in the church, they freak out, because it's like, oh, this is amazing. Sam's amazing. But Rebecca, who had mentioned earlier that she's not sure if she wants to stay with Sam because he's just too perfect, and that scares her, and she wants to find out why that scares her. I mean, she probably for sure has issues from her dad, and then she also has trauma from just her previous relationship with Rupert. So I could see Rebecca sitting down with Sharon at some point, maybe the next episode. But she kind of softly breaks it off. I mean, she alludes to it. She says that he's amazing, and then she says the big butt word, which a hilarious line from Sam is that he loves big butts and he cannot lie. Although I don't know if he said he loves big butts. But it was, it felt like a line that Ted Lasso would say coming out of Sam's mouth. But I still enjoyed it. Like a very dad jokey kind of a thing to say. which, you know, Sam is far beyond his years as far as who he is. But yeah, she softly breaks it off with him, which he's sad. And then it ends with the end of the episode is Rebecca and her mom curled up in her childhood bed, in her childhood room that had not been changed since she left, and them watching a VHS of Rick Isley's Never Gonna Give You Up one more time. And her mom finds out that Rick Isley's white. She thought he was black the whole time, which is funny. It's just funny. But I love this episode so much. I mean, the Rick Isley, Rick rolling a funeral to cause me to cry and laugh simultaneously is brilliant. Like it was able to draw such contrasting emotions out simultaneously, and I appreciate Ted Lasso season 2 episode 10. No weddings and a funeral for doing that. I appreciate that. So next episode is Midnight Train to Royston. Seems like somebody's going on a road trip for a game. Not a road trip, but they're going on the road to play a game. Play a match? I don't know what the term is, but I'm looking forward to it on next episode of Ted Lasso. New episodes of The Ray Taylor Show come out every single day. Subscribe on IGTV, YouTube, and everywhere else podcasts are found. Binge the full week ad free over at patreon.com/inspireddisorder. Buy Ray Taylor Show merch over at inspireddisorder.com and follow the show on Instagram @RayTaylorShow. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Peace out!